All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Sunaina. Today I'm going to be talking about AI in medicine, and this is through the MedCast elective. So we have a couple different topics that I wanted to talk about today, but I'll kind of just get into overall. We'll be talking about different diagnostics, different applications, how it's being used in the hospital, some benefits to AI, some downsides to AI, some challenges to AI, possible future explorations to AI in medicine. But we have a long list of things to talk about today, and I'd love to kind of get into it. So, just to kind of start us off, AI, as I'm sure we've all kind of heard, is artificial intelligence. So, if you hear me saying AI, 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 I'm referring to artificial intelligence. So, artificial intelligence in medicine is revolutionizing pretty much the way healthcare is being delivered. Advancements are being created that really enhance diagnostic accuracy, pretty much streamlining most administrative tasks, and even personalizing specifically patient care. So, there's a lot that's being done within that realm. AI pretty much refers to like how it is act like what it actually is pretty much the development of computer algorithms that have been analyzing complex medical data sets over X number of years, which then automate decision-making processes and assist the actual professionals throughout patient management. So AI has been coming for a long time. They've been taking all the data that we've been kind of feeding into it for almost like I can't even say how many years now, and using all that data to kind of create all these decisions or decision-making processes, and that's being used to actually help the physicians or any healthcare worker for that matter. Some of the most like widely renowned AI tools that are currently used in medicine today are usually like diagnostic algorithms, so kind of helping with diagnosing somebody, robotic-assisted surgeries, that's a huge one, and administrative AI assistance that can really help manage healthcare operations. These technologies essentially are there to really reduce human error, to increase precision medicine, and optimize how many resources are being allocated to specific medical settings. So, all in all, what it's trying to do is make it as efficient and as effective as possible. I mean, as we know, like computers, they're doing what we tell them to do initially, and most times it's been kind of said like computers make much less mistakes than humans do. So all that they're trying to do at this point is try to make something as efficient, as effective, and as safe as possible. And so far it's been succeeding. One of the most promising applications of AI in medicine is specifically diagnostics, which we were talking about before. Diagnostics, particularly in radiology, dermatology, ophthalmology, and neurology. And for those of you that don't know exactly what those fields are, radiology is pretty much who's analyzing your CT scans, your X-rays, your MRIs, any imaging work that you kind of get done. They're physicians that analyze that and kind of report back. Dermatologists are physicians or clinicians that kind of look after your skin, the entire integumentary system. Ophthalmology is for your eyes, and neurology is for the brain. So a lot of AI-powered algorithms are able to now analyze medical imaging, like for the radiology aspects, such as X-rays, MRIs, CTs, with remarkable accuracy because we've been fed to tell it, we've been feeding it to look for specific markers and look for specific things that you can find on a CT scan. And sometimes it's even surpassing like human radiologists in identifying abnormalities because humans, they're incredibly talented, but there's so many different factors that kind of go into diagnosing someone or even reading an X-ray versus when like computer can do it or AI can do it. It definitely won't miss the things that need to be kind of gone through, but it might not pick up on things that are different or are special that haven't already been fed into it. That's why you kind of need the mix of both. So in this case, like for example, AI-driven tools, there's one like Google's DeepMind. It's pretty much like shown proficiency in detecting breast cancer with specific mammograms with a lower false negative rate than human radiologists. So essentially, that's just saying it analyzes the mammograms while humans are at the same time, which are the radiologists, and these, like this Google DeepMind actually has lower false negatives. So they're able to show lower false negatives and actually pick up on the specific details on the mammogram and like essentially make them true positives. That happens at a much greater rate than the human radiologist. So like we were talking about before, when you feed it into some, when you feed like specific rules into an algorithm, no matter what, it's going to go through that checklist by all means. And I'm sure when you look at mammograms, there are specific rules that you have to kind of go through every single pixel or intel that you have to analyze. And they're able to, studies have showed that they've been able to do that extremely, extremely proficiently. Similarly, in dermatology, there's a bunch of different AI models that are essentially trained on numerous data sets that are able to identify specific skin lesions and differentiate them between benign and malignant. So, any growth that you have, or any skin lesion, or any discoloration that you kind of see on your skin, it's able to see that and really assist the dermatologist in kind of helping with early skin cancer detection. In terms of ophthalmology, AI is pretty much being used to screen for diabetic retinopathy. It's a leading cause of blindness. And what they're doing is it's analyzing all these different retinal images and identifying early signs of the disease. In terms of neurology, neurology is benefiting a lot from AI advancements, especially within the emergency department, where AI can quickly, rapidly assess brain scans in order to detect strokes, which very helpfully can quickly call intervention quicker and also improve patient outcomes. I actually saw an example of this when I was in the emergency department as a student. And a lot of times, like in residency run programs, we don't always have time to call the attending, or patient does not have all the time in the world to call the neurologist attending for them to look at the scans. I remember this one patient, he came in pretty critical, and the residents were showing me like an app they were using to. It's already connected to the hospital's database, and it analyzes the brain bleed or the CT scan to see if there actually is a brain bleed or if there is an ischemic stroke, and immediately notifies the resident. While, of course, the resident has to double check this and triple check this and do his own work in terms of checking it, you kind of have like an initial layer telling you, okay, this is fine. Similarly, on the other side, it was able to like identify a pretty profound bleed right off the bat, and immediately the resident knew he had to contact his attending before the images were loaded up onto the database, before he actually had a chance to look at all every single like the MRI, the CT, the every single imaging option. He was notified that there's a brain bleed, so you can immediately start to get things in action. So it becomes like it's. You're essentially enabling a much quicker intervention, which is always better in neurology and normal patient care in general. So you're making it quicker and you're really improving these patient outcomes. So besides just diagnostics, we talked a lot about diagnostics up until now. There's also something called predictive analysis, and that's pretty much allowing for the early detection and prevention of specific diseases. And AI is making significant strides from that manner. AI-powered models are pretty much being integrated into ICUs, which are intensive care units, to predict patient deterioration. So a lot of times, of course, like kind of what it's talking about, intensive care units, ICUs are where the sickest of the sick patients are. And a lot of these models are used to predict how quickly are these patients going to deteriorate, if they're going to deteriorate, and what we can constantly do to maybe prevent that or stop that. And they're constantly analyzing their vital signs. So if a nurse isn't inside the room or a physician isn't inside the room checking up on those vital signs, this program is constantly checking the vital signs and notifying physicians and notifying healthcare workers that, hey, something's wrong. It's also analyzing different medical records or going back into the past and seeing if this patient's ever been hospitalized before. What was actually seen in their last hospitalization? Did he have any complications with any of the organ systems? And they're able to present all of that to the current physicians and clinicians that are there. This like real-time analysis really helps the healthcare providers intervene before a patient's condition gets significantly worse. If AI is kind of able to peruse through the files when they were there last time and saw, given this medication, he had this horrible of a side effect or this horrible of a side reaction, we know not to give that before going in. And a lot of times that's what residents and physicians do anyway. They look through the charts to see if there's ever been an adverse reaction. But sometimes, I mean, there's hundreds, 200s, 300 pages of material to go through. and you have, like 10, 20 patients on your watch, might not always be possible to get through every single page in the most time efficient manner before your patient ends up developing a complication. In this case, AI is able to do that extremely quickly and extremely efficiently. Pretty much in a different note, like kind of on this predictive analysis thing, AI's being used very heavily in like neurodegenerative disease research, especially because of this predictive nature. They're able to analyze a lot of early diagnosis of conditions of Alzheimer's. They basically are looking at speech patterns, different cognitive tests, retinal scans. By analyzing all of those, AI is able to detect like subtle specific changes that could or could not indicate the onset of Alzheimer's years before any traditional diagnostic methods have been made. So this concept of quicker and more efficient is constantly the main driver of AI. AI has pretty much also transformed, like we were talking about, the administrative aspects of healthcare, which has reduced the burden on a lot of physicians and a lot of hospital staff by streamlining most of their operations. AI-driven administrative assistants help manage the EHRs, which are the electronic health records. They're pretty much able to automate patient scheduling now and reduce a lot of the paperwork, which pretty much allows the physicians and other healthcare workers to really focus on actual patient care, which is the best thing we could possibly think of. There's different AI-powered chatbots that I'm sure you've encountered once. There's different virtual assistants, Nuance and Babylon Health. Those are specific companies that have helped develop like those powered chatbots and assistants. They've pretty much helped patients schedule most of their appointments and answer really common medical questions: what to bring to the appointment, what to expect in the appointment, how long it's going to take, the waiting time, all of those common medical queries, and even provide like some preliminary symptom assessments. So it's kind of going through those checklists that we give, that physicians kind of give the patients when they come into doctor's office. So getting rid of steps early on so that when they come into the patient room, the physicians and the clinicians can focus primarily on identifying the patient's needs as opposed to the paperwork and the administrative burden that is very heavy on the medicine side. These administrative AI applications not only improve like the workflow efficiency, but also pretty much enhance patient experiences, like we were talking about, by getting rid of wait times or reducing wait times and just increasing access to healthcare services across the country. So those are some definitely like some ways AI is affecting. I want to give some examples of how AI has pretty much been a growing impact in medicine since this thing has come to light. One of the main things, IBM Watson, which is a major tech company, so they created something called IBM Watson for oncology. This is an AI system that pretty much assists oncologists, which are physicians that kind of specialize in cancer diagnosing, assists oncologists by analyzing huge data sets of medical literature and patient records to eventually end up recommending personalized cancer treatment options. On the other hand, Path AI, this is an AI-driven technology, and this is pretty much revolutionizing pathology, which is the identification of specific diseases based off of microscopal examination. It's revolutionized Path by improving the accuracy of disease and diagnosing in tissue samples. It's been very, really helpful in terms of detecting specific cancers and other complex diseases, but these are some of the innovations that have been paving the way pretty much for this data-driven medical decision-making. It's a huge, huge advancement, and they're something that have been incredible. However, despite everything that we're talking about, there are some challenges that AI kind of provides. Like we were saying, despite its vast potential, the integration of AI in medicine comes with specific challenges and also ethical concerns. One major concern is bias in AI. Since these machine learning models are only as good as the data they're trained on, a lot of the times that the data that they're trained on is not very inclusive. If training data sets actually lack the diversity and in race, in ethnicity, in sex, in so many different concepts, AI algorithms just continue to reinforce what it's being taught. So it's not really going to change based on if someone is a woman or if someone is a man. It's not going to change based off if someone is a Black African American or Hispanic Latino or Middle Eastern or South Asian. There's so many different subgroups of individuals that have so many specific health needs that are not necessarily going to be met if those data sets aren't specifying specific population groups. And a lot of the data sets that we have in medicine today don't do that, even from a research aspect and from pretty much any aspect. A lot of the data that we have today is very pretty much lacking in diversity, and that's because that's kind of how it's been trained over the years. I mean, there were a lot of studies that were only ever done on men. And so a lot of drugs and a lot of medications that we use were never even tested on women to see if the accuracy is the same as it is on men. Similarly, a lot of the drugs that we use were never tested on African American populations and Hispanic populations and more traditionally underserved and uninsured population groups to see if there's actually a difference in how they're being treated or how it's being affected. And what we found is that there is actually a difference over the years. And that's why we're trying to personalize medications and personalize medicine as much as we possibly can. However, because AI is kind of driven with all of these data sets that we have put into over several hundred years now, a lot of them may not be like having the same diversity that we're using today. If they lack diversity, AI is just going to continue to reinforce those healthcare disparities. And it's going to lead to inaccurate diagnosing and treatment recommendations, especially for minority populations. For example, there are some studies that have shown that AI-driven dermatology applications don't perform as well on individuals with darker skin tones just because there's underrepresentation of these individuals within the training data. So, like we were talking about before, I was saying medications weren't being used very similarly in terms of diagnosis. Diagnosing melanoma or diagnosing any specific skin cancer condition is might be a little bit more difficult just because we haven't been taught or seen what that looks like in darker skin tones. If that's the data that's being fed into the AI system, it can produce a lot of false negatives just because it's not used to the darker skin tones. So addressing these biases requires ensuring that these data sets that are being used are really diverse and very representative of the current population. And constant validation of the AI models across different demographic groups has to be occurring in order to make this as equitable as possible. Another significant issue, I'd say, within the AI realm is data privacy. Data privacy is pretty much like, for example, AI systems require access to vast amounts of medical data to function pretty effectively and properly. The question of who owns this patient data and how it's protected remains a very prominent issue for the longest time, especially with laws like HIPAA. AI developers, healthcare institutions, and a lot of these regulatory bodies from the government aspect or from the state aspect have to implement robust safeguards to pretty much ensure that patient information is going to remain secure and any ethical guidelines are consistently being followed, specifically within relation to HIPAA regarding data sharing and usage. So, AI is pretty much driven on data, and medical data is extremely difficult to decipher through because there are so many laws and regulations that are there to protect individuals of their own data and like data privacy. And if people don't want to share their data, their healthcare data, their health plans and everything, then they don't have to. That's the concept of HIPAA. You're not allowed to talk about it with anybody else. But if they do sign up to share and they're okay with sharing and they actually understand what sharing means, properly providing a consent is really, really important. Because it's medical data and because it's so significant and also so vulnerable at the same time, there are so many different regulations that needs to be followed, specific with the data sharing. So a lot of the oversight, regulatory oversight, by agencies such as like the FDA is really, really important to make sure that these AI-driven medical technologies are constantly meeting this like safety and ethical concerns and efficiency standards before being adopted all over the world. Another concern of AI, kind of different from what we were talking about before, but is like the impact on actual patient and physician relationships. AI can definitely, based off of what we've seen, can definitely enhance medical decision making. There's no question about that. But there is a risk when there becomes an over-reliance on technology, which could pretty much lead to the dehumanization of care. Patients may feel less connected to their physicians if AI systems are pretty much replacing the human interactions with diagnosis, with treatment planning, with management, with post-analysis. There has to be a specific balance that occurs with AI-driven efficiency and compassionate personalized care, which continues to remain a challenge that healthcare providers kind of have to navigate through. Like we were talking about before, if AI is being used to make it as efficient as possible so physicians can actually spend the most amount of time in patient rooms addressing their concerns and providing that compassionate touch and compassionate hand, that's the best case scenario. But in situations like this, where there is so many individuals in need of medical attention and so many individuals in need of medical care, individuals might become really, really reliant on using AI to kind of help them because they're running out of time and they want to provide as much as they can, but they're running out of time and they're trying to see how many of our patients in one day. So that might reduce the personalized aspect, the compassionate aspect. And sometimes it just might make humans talking to a robot or, filling out paperwork rather than actually talking to a physician makes a big difference for them. I'm sure, like, if anybody has, especially like within oncology, individuals with cancer don't want to be talking to a robot, nor should they. They should be, physicians are there to not only provide them medical care, but also are there to really provide that compassionate touch and be there for them. They are their provider. And in that case, I don't think AI or a lot of these AI-powered models would be able to do that in the same way that physicians can. But over-relying on AI in that aspect might make it difficult to build that relationship. So it's a very fine line, and there's a balance that consistently needs to be striked, but it's a difficult concept. Another very critical factor is regulation. So I just want to start from the beginning again and talk about a little bit about what we've said so far. We were talking about the challenges, and some of these challenges, what we talked about so far is like mitigating bias, data privacy, and the physician-patient relationship. Now what I'm talking about is regulation. So regulation is a very critical factor in terms of the implementation of AI in medicine. There's so many different AI-driven medical tools and devices that have to undergo very rigorous and continuous processing testing that can be approved by medical boards and regulatory agencies before they can even be put into clinical practice. So there's a lot of red tape involved in terms of actually getting this out to hospitals and actually getting this out to clinical care. Governments and medical institutions have to establish very clear guidelines and specific protocols that, again, ensure that ethical needs are being taken care of, like we were talking about before. And these AI-driven technologies are being responsibly deployed in healthcare so that individuals don't misuse the system or there aren't any unintended consequences that we haven't looked at. Want to pivot a little bit and talk about the future. The future of AI is a very common topic that is being discussed all around the world. And one of the biggest things, I think, like the future is so exciting in terms of AI. It's really expected to play like an extremely pivotal role in terms of personalized medicine. In addition to just personalized medicine, tailoring treatment plans based on an individual's genetic makeup, their environment, and their lifestyle is pretty much the definition of personalized medicine, and that sounds like the most ideal medicine that we can provide for individuals. AI-driven precision medicine is already being explored in oncology, where there's different genetic sequencing data that are being used to develop targeted cancer therapies that are a lot more effective and have a lot fewer side effects. Similarly, in the realm of cardiology, AI is being used to predict if there's specific cardiovascular disease risk factors that are based on patients' genetic factors, their lifestyle modifications, or just lifestyle factors in general. And that eventually allows for very early intervention and personalized preventive strategies. And kind of tying back to what we were talking about in the very beginning, the whole concept of AI is to make it as effective and time-driven and balanced as possible. And allowing for this early intervention, especially within cardiology, earlier in the earlier you intervene when there's a cardiovascular risk, the better it is for your entire health. So this concept of personalized medicine and taking into consideration different genetic factors, environmental factors, socioeconomic factors, where you live, where you grew up, did you go around a lot of smoke growing up? Did you drink a lot of alcohol growing up? Do you live in a poverty-stricken neighborhood? Do you have accessibility to sidewalks? Do you have accessibility to parks? How often do you exercise? What type of food do you eat? All of these concepts are kind of being analyzed in order to provide individuals personalized medicine. Another thing that's being transformed pretty much by AI in terms of the future and will continue to probably be transformed is medical education. With the concept of virtual patients and different AI-powered simulations, this being provided to medical students and trainees with actual interactive learning experiences is beyond amazing. These AI-driven virtual patients can pretty much mimic like real-life scenarios, clinical scenarios, and allow students to continuously practice diagnosing and providing treatment plans and management plans in a completely risk-free setting. This like innovative approach that they're using to medical training is expected to pretty much enhance the entire competency of medical trainees and the preparedness of how future healthcare professionals will act in society and hospitals in emergency situations. In terms of mental health care, AI is definitely making significant strides in this manner as well. There is now something called an AI-powered virtual therapist, and a lot of these individuals are offering support for individuals, especially experiencing diseases like anxiety, depression, and multiple other mental health conditions. And kind of like how we were talking about in my other podcast in the Healthcare for India, mental health physicians and psychiatrists, there is a great shortage of them globally, and especially in India, like I was talking about, but even within the United States and even within countries, especially third world countries, where efforts are not really being focused on developing physicians for mental health. In that aspect, AI-powered virtual therapists are incredible. They're able to offer support and actually work through conditions like that with very minimal training needed. Like they're just going through the data sets and AI is pretty much powering it to do that, as opposed to producing physicians needing to go through 4 years of schooling, needing to go through residency, needing to go through fellowship. While it's not the most perfect thing in the world, because obviously they want to be talking to people and they want to have a real human connection, at this point, something is better than nothing. There are specific applications being used, such as Wobot and Wisa, that are essentially using like natural language processing, like how we talk day to day, and cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, which is pretty much the prescribed treatment plan for a lot of these different diseases that we were talking about, like anxiety, depression, OCD, all the different mental health conditions. So it's utilizing specific cognitive behavioral therapy techniques to provide real-time mental health support. And this is allowing therapy to become so much more accessible to those who do not have that immediate need to a human therapist. And there is a shortage of individuals like that, and it's expensive. Whatever the barriers may be to this is something that can come at a much decreased rate and a lot easier for individuals to actually access. So while AI-driven mental health solutions, like I was talking about, doesn't necessarily replace traditional therapy, it's definitely a very valuable supplementary tool that can be used in the terms of mental health care. So we talked a lot in terms of challenges and strengths and future use. Just want to tie it all together. Like we were saying, pretty much in conclusion, AI in medicine has a very promising frontier, especially with the potential to pretty much revolutionize how one diagnoses another individual, patient care, and medical education. However, based off of those challenges that we were talking about, implementation of these AI-powered tools has to be done with caution. There has to be ethical considerations that are made, data privacy concerns that are taken care of, and specific regulatory guidelines that are being followed and addressed. As AI is going to continue to evolve year after year after year, training future doctors to work with AI systems will be very essential in maximizing its benefits in terms of not becoming over-reliant on them and not becoming under-reliant on them, but to be just balanced with perfection. Hospitals and healthcare institutions have to balance innovation with responsibility to make sure that AI is genuinely an augmentative tool rather than just replacing human expertise. Like we were saying, training future doctors to work with the AI systems will essentially maximize its benefits while also maintaining that human touch and that compassionate care that individuals want, that patients want within the healthcare system. By embracing AI, while also simultaneously genuinely prioritizing patient-centered care, the medical field can, there's just so much potential for the medical field to utilize AI and actually improve healthcare outcomes, not just in this country, but worldwide. Thank you for listening, and yeah, thank you.